Okay, so we're holding on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're holding the third of the widest lines. About, what is it, 8 lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of talking about the Maisa Merkava, about the whole thing with the Chayes HaKodesh and the Seraphim and all the different stuff that's going on over there in Olam HaSel Yonim. And by the way, you know, I've been saying the last couple of days that it seems like the difference, you know, Maisa Bereshis is stuff in Olam HaSbiya and Maisa Merkava is stuff in Atzilus. It turns out not really, actually. Looking further into it in Chassidus, it talks about that, for example, so a number of the Malachim that we're talking about, including when we get to talking about Abra and Nechnetzul the Paradis, we may get to at the end of today, or we may get to tomorrow, we'll see. All of that is even only in Yetzirah. It's all Yetzirah, not even in the world higher than that. So, yeah. Anyway. So we were talking about we mentioned that there's two different descriptions of the Merkava and the Kisei HaKavod, etc. In Tanakh, there's Yeshayas and then there's Yecheskels, and we pointed out some distinctions between them and how those fit. Now another one. Besides those two, there's another such vision where Daniel sees the base in Shomayli. He sees Kaviyachol, the Eivishta, sitting on the Kisei HaKavod. We'll get to the details soon. Many, tens of thousands of myriads of Malachim all around him, and he goes and judges the nations. This is a vision that Daniel sees of what's going to be at the end of history when Eivishta finally judges the Dalet Malchus. So, Kosov Echadoim, one pasuk says, El Malachim Yishamshune, 1,000,000, meaning 1,000,000 malachim, serve him, and a myriad, 10,000 times 10,000, so 100,000,000. Elf alofen would be 1,000,000, 1,000 times 1,000. Ribo rivavon, 10,000 times 10,000, so 100,000,000, kadamoi yukumun, stand in front of him. So it sounds like there's a finite number of malachim. It's a very large number, but it's still finite. Because of Echadoim, but another pasuk says, Hayesh mispilagudav, is there any number to his legions? Which sounds like the number of Malachim is infinite. So what is it? The answer is, like Asha, like we said, similar to what we said yesterday about the wings of the Malachim, Kan Bizman Shebeis Mefesh Kayim, Kan Bizman Shein Beis Mefesh Kayim. One's talking about when the Beis Mefesh is standing, which is the time when Eov lived, where the Gemara and Bava Basra has a number of different opinions when Eov lived, but most of them place him during the time of the Beis Mefesh, or even earlier, whatever. So at that time, then there's an infinite number. In Daniel's times, after the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, then there's only 1,000,000 or 100,000,000. Kaviyachol shenismat the pamal yeshamayla. Kaviyachol, with the Churban, the Eibishter's retinue has been decreased. Tanya, Rebbe Oymer, Meshem Abba Yosi Mendoisoi, the answer is like this. It's not there's a difference between Bizman Shebeis Mikdash Kayim and not, but rather, Elof Alofen Yesham Shunei Misbegrud Echad. The 1,000 times 1,000 to the 1,000,000 that serve the Eibishter is one legion. The legions themselves, there's no limit of those. So ultimately, the number of Malachim is infinite. That Hayesh Mispel Dudov means the number of groups of Malachim is infinite, but within each group, there's a finite number, which the Rebbe once pointed out in a Sicha. It means, you know, we talk about the Eibishter is built Baal Gvul, that he's infinite. On the other hand, the Eibishter also has a Koyach and Gvul. He has a power of finiteness as well, and that's how the Eibishter is able to make a finite world. So here we see these two things together, the finite and the infinite fitting together.
Let me ask you a question. The finiteness is an illusion.
It is, but it's the expression is that there's an expression from one of the basic sforim of Kabbalah, I think Derech Emunah or something, that says just as the Eibishter has a power of infiniteness, so he also has a power of finiteness. He says because otherwise, if you say the Eibishter only has a power of infiniteness, that's a limitation on him.
Right.
So the Eibishter has a power. Obviously, the Eibishter is not finite. Chas v'shalom, ein lid mutar guf, etc. But the Eibishter has the capability of making finite things. And like I mentioned yesterday, in Igeres Chof, which we'll be learning soon in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe talks about how, in a way, the finite Gashmiistic world is a more, in a certain way, is a truer reflection of the Eibishter of Atmos than Ruchnius is, because Gashmius seems to stand on its own; it seems to be completely independent. Who can make something that looks completely independent? That Lo Yaniva Asiyod, only one who really is independent, the Eibishter.
Well, that's
that. There's that too, right? But no, that's not just the perception. We are actually finite. There's no question of it. We are finite. But the Eivishter himself. This is also in Shari Yechid Ramuna. The Alter Rebbe talks about the I was mentioning the other day about Havaya and Elikim. That Elikim screens The Elohim screens Havaya, so that there's able to be a world that perceives itself as independent. But it's not Ki Havaya, after all, Ki Havaya hu Elohim. These aren't two separate powers, Chas v'Shalom. Hashem himself has there's one aspect that Hashem emanated from himself that we perceive, that we're able to relate to Hashem, as Yurke Bavke, and another one also emanated from Hashem himself, which we perceive as Elohim, which we perceive as that screen, but they're really the same thing. There's also a long and then rather complicated explanation from the Rebbe on Perek Dalet and Hey of Shari Yichud V'Emunah, how it is that the Alter Rebbe makes the point there that even though from the Eibishter's point of view, you would say, you know, this is an illusionary thing. There is no screen at all. We have to say though that there is a certain reality to it. It is a certain true reality. It's not just an illusion, because otherwise, how do our mitzvahs have any? How do our physical mitzvahs have any meaning if the whole thing is just an illusion? And it's a long, complicated topic. So this isn't really the place for it. But yeah, anyway. Another answer for the Yirmi Ba'avom. Hello. When we say that a million malachim serve Eibishter, this means this is referring to the ones that are involved with Nahar Dinur. Nahar Dinur literally means the river of fire, which we're going to talk about now. What that is. Some people want to say that actually in modern Hebrew they use the word Nahar Dinur to mean the Milky Way, because it looks like a river of fire in the sky. But anyway, yeah. So Shenema, the pasuk continues there, also in Daniel, in this vision of Daniel, Nahar Dinur Nogid V'Nafik Min Kadamahi, a river of fire flows out and comes from before Hashem. And then the pasuk continues on that. Elef Alafim Yisham Shunei, a million malachim serve him, V'Ribi Rivvan Kadamahi Yikuman, and 100 million malachim stand in front of him. So in other words, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'avah is saying that it's not, we were assuming that the malachim are the numbers that it gives there, the million and the 100 million, are the malachim who Kaviyachal are serving the Eibishter himself. No, we're saying these are the ones who deal with Nahar Dinur. These are the ones who are involved with, or who come from, as the Gemara is going to say soon, with this river of fire. The malachim who are on a higher level, who are Kaviyachal, closer, so to speak, to the Eibishter on a higher level, that number is infinite. Now, Mehechan Nafik, now we mentioned this Nahar Dinur, where does it come from? Mizeos and Shol Chayas. It comes from the sweat of the Chayas. Which means, some of Foshim say that Kaviyachal, the idea is, like we're saying, the Chayas HaKadosh carry the Merkava of the Eibishter, they carry the Kisei HaKavod. In human terms, if you're carrying something like heavy like that, you sweat. And therefore, this is the kind of, like Kaviyachal, in the Malachim terms, there's something like that can be described as sweat also. In Chassidus, it talks about rather that the sweat we're talking about is not a sweat from exertion, but a sweat from yira, from the fear and the awe that they have for the Eibishter. That's the sweating that they do. And there's a mimer of the Alter Rebbe where he explains the idea that sweat comes out through the pores in your skin, so it's like it's the chitzonius of chitzonius, and therefore that's what we're describing over here. This is like the chitzonius of the fear that the malachim have for the Eibishter.
What? That one is
built as that's the Arim. This is okay. That's like why Chassidus doesn't like the idea that it's sweat from exertion, but rather sweat from yira.
Why do they fear? They have no.
Because there's different kinds of malachim. One difference between malachim and us is malachim are one-dimensional creatures. A malach mechal, for example, is all chesed. Gabriel is all gvura, all yira. Each malach is one and only one midah. We're the only creatures that blend all 10 of them, that blend everything from Keser or Chochma all the way down to Malchus. That's in one sense when we say that we're created with Tzelem Elohim, that's it in Kisvei Arizal, but that's one meaning of it.
So then you further my question, if they just have one midah, how can they have
but that's
a
their,
fear?
So that's their, for some of these malachim, that is their midah, to have a fear, to have a yira. Remember, there's different levels of yira also. Yira doesn't mean fear of punishment, necessarily. That's the very lowest level of yira. There's yira saroyimimus, realizing how utterly great the Eibishter is, and we can't even come close to that. There's yira boshes, where like you'd be embarrassed to be caught doing anything wrong, because you know the Eibishter is constantly watching you. There's many different levels in yira. So these malachim we're talking about are on this level of yira. That's the mashmi b'yira, yachad b'ko, we say in davening. So that's it. Well, heichan shafich, where does this Nahar Dinur pour to? Amar Rav Zutzer bar Turiya, Amar Rav, al rosh v'shoyim v'gehenim. This Nahar Dinur pours out onto the heads of the v'shoyim in Gehenim. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Ki nisaras Hashem chema yotza. Behold, the storm of Hashem comes out as an anger. Visar mitzcholol, and the storm that stirred up, al rosh rishayim yachol, will land on the head of the rishayim. The idea is basically one idea of it is that we're saying that it comes from the zeya of these malachim, that it comes from the yira that they have for the Eibishter. So like that yira, then you know the rishayim sort of the rishayim perceive it in their own way in Gehenna. Like, you know, why didn't we have anything resembling that kind of yira for the Eibishter? If we did, we wouldn't have been rishayim.
Yeah, Chaim says that the rishayim have no nefesh.
I don't know what that means exactly, but okay. Maybe it's sort of the Alter Rebbe talks about in Perek Yod of Tanya that you can have a Rosh Agama or a Rosh of a Rabbi, that he completely expelled his Nefesh Elikis from where his Yetzer Tov from in him. It's just Makif Milamayla. It's just like hovers over him waiting to be able to come back in. Maybe that's what the Rakhine meant. I don't know.
Isn't the Nefesh the third
level? Usually we talk about Nefesh as the lowest. You have Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chai, Yechida.
Neshama is the one there.
Yeah.
That's the one that only a Jew's.
In a number of places, by the way, in Kabbalah and in Chassidus, it talks about the idea that this Nahar Dinur specifically is the neshama passes through it on the way to the Olam Emes. Like that helps clean it up. That helps make it that helps clean up, but it makes it forget what Olam Hazeh is all about. A neshama, after all, was in a physical body. It's used to this world. How does it become accustomed to a completely ruchniistic world, which is what Gan Eden is? That's the Nahar Dinur is that crossover point.
Sounds like a mikveh.
In a way, it's like a mikveh, exactly, yeah. But Rabbi Achaba Yaakov says, when we're talking about that this Nahar Dinur falls on the head of the Rishoyim, it's not just any Rishoyim, Alasha Kumtu. It falls on the heads of the ones who were cut off. Which, what does this mean? We'll talk about it in a second. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Asher kumtu v'loyeis, they were cut off, not in their time. Noho yutzak yisoydam, a flowing river is their base. The flowing river is this Nahar Dinur that we just mentioned. So it lands on this Asher kumtu. Who are these Asher kumtu? Tanya, Amar Rav Shimon HaChassid, Eilu tshameyes v'shivim v'aba doros, this is the 974 generation, Shet kumtu lihibaros, which were destined to be created. Nigzeru, Rashi says, kumtu means Meloshon Gozer, they were destined to be created. Kodem Shenivra Olam, before the world was created. V'loi Nivru, but they were never created. What happened? Rashi says, the Eibishter's original plan, Kaviyachol, was that the Torah should be given after 1,000 generations of human history. Dover tzivu la'elef dor. But, you know, the world is going on. You know, the Eibishter realized the Kaviyachol that the world is not going to last like that. 1,000 generations without Torah, you know, what kind of jungle is it going to be? So the Eibishter had to cut out 974 generations and give the Torah after only 26. From Adam until Moshe, 26 generations.
So really, they didn't merit to have the Torah.
Right. So the Eibishter instead planted them throughout the generations. Or actually, Rashi and Tosfos have a different girsa, not v'shaslan, but v'tordon, that the Eibishter drove them out of the world and put them in Gehenna, which then Tosfos asks, so what's it their fault? But what are they doing in Gehenna for? What did they do wrong? They weren't destined to get the Torah. That's not their fault. So the Eibishter Kaviyachol changed his plan. And the answer is, Tosfos says, that what it means, the Torah doesn't actually mean he threw them into Gehenna. It means that this Vishoth one and the Torah, essentially, Mephoshim say, amount to the same thing. It means that the Eibishter, instead of making them all be born at one time, because V'hein Azeh Ponim Shavadur, these are the chutzpah people of every generation, instead of having them all at one time, where who knows what they do to the world, the Eibishter gradually scatters them out throughout the generations. So in Chassidus, it talks about the idea that these dorus that we're talking about are neshamas from Olam HaToivu. We know it talks about in Chassidus, and it goes back to Kisvei HaRizal, maybe further back, I don't know, that there's an Olam HaToivu and Olam HaTikun. At first, the Eibishter created a world that Kaviyachol broke apart under its own weight, because each sphere is so intense that it doesn't leave any room for the others. It breaks the Kalim, that's the famous Shviras HaKalim. And then the Eibishter recreated as Olam HaTikun, which is the world that we live in, where every middah has where every one of the spirits includes within it aspects of the other ones, and therefore they can all coexist.
Yeah,
these neshamas, these 974 generations, are all neshamas from this Olam HaTohu. So they can't, you can't have a whole world of those kind of people. They just destroy it with their intensity. You know, the worst are full of passion and intensity, like the famous line goes from literature. So instead, they just scatters them gradually throughout the generations. Which then, you know, I mean, so, you know, ultimately we have to ask, why did the Eibishter create an Olam HaTorah in the first place, and why create these Neshamas? So then in a lot of places it talks about the idea that Rebbe used to kochzich a lot in this, the idea that the advantage of Tohu does have an advantage. This intensity itself can be the advantage. Sometimes you need that intensity of Tohu, but you need it to be in Kalim of Tikkun. You need to put it in the appropriate vessels, in the appropriate garments, to be able to function and do its job in our world. But you can't, in a way, you're better. In a way, Tohu has the advantage over Tikkun in the fact that it's so intense at what it's going to do. It's single-minded. Chesed is single-minded Chesed, etc. So that's the purpose. That we need that kind of intensity. There needs to exist the possibility for that kind of intensity in our world. And one thing of it is, for example, I mean, so we have in Torah. I mean, there's rules and regulations of Torah, but then we have, you know, there's what are called in Bosnian Gani Shtus Tikdusha, you know, that you have where you act irrationally, or rather super rationally. You know, the Torah tells you have certain limitations, and you say, I don't care about those limitations. I'm going beyond them. That's Torah.
So you could have created an Olam HaTikkun with the sparks of Tohu.
Well, our world has sparks of Tohu, and the Shvidas HaKelim is the sparks of the Kelim of Tohu.
Right, but it initially created a world in Tohu and had to
because there had to be a world of Tohu. On one level, Dein Lo Hanayim, the Medrash says, Eibishter says, Kaviyachol, this world doesn't suit me. I need to recreate it. The Medrash quotes the Eibishter saying, you know, the Bona Olam of Machriban, the Eibishter is creating and destroying worlds, and he's saying, Dein Hanayim, Li V'Dein Lo Hanayim, Li. These worlds suit me, these ones don't. So on one level, yeah, it's, you know, they're not in a way, you know, the Olam HaTorah was not it's not what the Eibishter is going to fulfill his plan, and you're not going to accomplish literally Dirav Tachtonim with an Olam HaTorah. But on the other hand, it's a necessary prerequisite in order that Olam HaTikkun has that intensity which sometimes is needed. And so that's the idea that the Azei Panim come from these generations of Torah. And Azus Panim can be a good thing. You know, when the famous verse, they say that, you know, within Pirkei Avos, with last Shabbos, we said, Az Panim L'Gehenim, Uvoishas Panim L'Gan Eden. The famous verse, I heard about that, the Az Panim is the kind who goes on Shlichos to place to the Gehenims of the world. The Az Panim are the kinds who can do that. The Boishas Panim, the guys who are too embarrassed to go do Mufsoim, whatever, fine, let them stay in the Gan Eden of Crown Heights or Kfachabad or what have you, you know, but, yeah. No, when it talks about this pasuk that we quoted before, Ashakumtu v'loy eis, that they were destined but not in their time, this is actually the v'racha. This pasuk is not talking about these neshamas from Olam HaTorah, it's rather the v'racha. Elu tamid chachamim, it refers to the tamid chachamim, shemakamtin atman al divrei Torah ba'olam hazeh, that they cut themselves off from sleep or just, you know, from like we said from, you know, they don't just do kaveya etim latoda, they're learning constantly. But olam hazeh, in this world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu megalel lahem sod la'olam haba, and Eibishter reveal to them secrets in the world to come. Shenem nahar yutzak yisoidim, as it says, a flowing river is their yisoid, meloshen soid. And Marsha says, the vote is, this Nahar Dinur that we mentioned, this river of fire that the Neshamas have to go through and burn off the layers that have gotten Olam Hazeh, and that falls on the heads of the Rishonim and whatever, for the Tzadikim, these Tzadik HaChamim who exert themselves intensely over Torah, for them it becomes Naharei Afarsima, as the Gemara describes in a couple of places, like rivers of balsam, like gentle, sweet-smelling, flowing rivers of Sodas HaTorah. Amala Shmuel l'chia barav. Shmuel one time said to Chia barav, Bar Arya, son of a lion, meaning because his father was Rav, the great lion of Torah, or maybe Bar Uriya, son of a son of Torah. Ta, Emalach, come, let me tell you, Milsa Mahani Milya Malios Dava Amar Rucha. Come, let me tell you something from the nice Vertlach that your father used to say. Rav passed away a few years before Shmuel, so evidently Chia barav hadn't had a chance to hear all of his father's teachings, so Shmuel is going to tell him one. Every day, Malach HaSharis get created out of this Nahar Dinur. Va'amri Shira, and they say Shira to the Eibishter, Ubatli, and then they cease to exist. Shenema, the pasuk says Chadoshim Labakarim, new every morning. Rabba Emunasecha, your faithfulness is your faithfulness is great. Emunasecha, Rashi says Meloshim Tehila, your praise is great. So every morning, there's new Malachim who give new praises to the Eibishter and then disappear.
Why do they disappear once?
Because they've accomplished their mission.
Well, they will So there's kol yom v'yoma
of avidavidte. Every day has a new avoda, a new kind of thing that has to be done. The malach of yesterday is not doesn't belong today, just as yesterday doesn't belong today.
So we can say the same about us. We praise the Avishta every day, and yet our mission is not finished every day.
So we have a different kind of mission than the malachim do. I mean, there are permanent malachim also. Malach Machol has been around since the Avishta created him on the second or fifth or whatever it is day of my expedition. Malach Gabriel, same thing. There are permanent malachim, and then there are temporary malachim. The Rambam says an idea, Taka, that this represents. I mean, you have there's natural laws in the world, the various laws of nature that exist, you know, since from Bris Olam until now. Those parallel the permanent malachim, and then you have, you know, there's the individual, you know, that are, you know, according to those laws of nature. For example, that a particular, you know, that a particular plant grows a certain way, or you know, or you know, a particular thing that happens. That's the temporary malachim. You know, this famous thing that every blade of grass has a malach that strikes it and says grow. So those are the temporary malachim we're talking about over here. Today the grass has this malach. Tomorrow it's going to have a new one because every day it's a different kind of growth. Mashenka, and then there will be a malach who runs, you know, who handles the general matter of plant growth, something like that.
General and
the specific, yeah. Most says a pligger that Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. This that we said that these malachim are created from an har dinur disagrees with Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. The Amr Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amr Rabbi Yenison called dibur v'dibur shiyotzim a piyakarish baruch hu. Every utterance, every saying that comes from the mouth of Eibishter, nivrim mena malach echad. One malach is created from it. So not they're created from the har dinur, but rather they're created from the Eibishter's words. Shenemah v'divar Hashem shamayim nasu. With the word of Hashem, the heavens were created. Over ruach piv kol tzvam, and with the breath of his mouth, all of their hosts. Which we don't mean. In other words, the Gemara could have understood that host just means the sun and moon and stars and whatnot, but instead we're understanding it to mean the hosts of Malachim that are in Shemayim, that they were created Beruach Piv. Which, by the way, you know, we talk about that our neshamas are a chelik of the Kami Mal because Ba'atah Nefachtavi, you blew into me. As Al-Tadabi points out in a number of places in Tanya, quoting from the Zohar, Manda Nefach Mitoche Nefach. When a person blows, it comes from the Pnimius. Mashenkin Ruach Piv is just like, you know, so to speak, like, you know, a superficial breath. So like the Malachim are created from that, or Neshamas are created from a much deeper level of Elikus. Next, going back to, we said that we were describing this vision of Daniel of the Kisei HaKavod and the Malachim surrounding it and so forth. So here's another one. Kosev Achadoma, one pasuk says in this description, he describes Kaviyachol the Eibishter, Levushei Kiplag Chivar, his clothes are like white snow, Usaar Reshe Ka'amar Nekei, and the hair of his head is like clean white wool. Kaviyachol like an old man. Uksiv, but then there's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim also describing the Eibishter Kaviyachol, Kutzos of Taltalim, his curls, his hair is like his locks of hair are curled, Shchoris Ka'orav, black like a raven. So what is it, Kaviyachol? Do we describe the Eibishter's hair as white or black? So okay, Rabbi Hananel says not necessarily are we talking here about the Eibishter himself. I mean, you know, we're talking about he brings one opinion that we're talking about over here that Yesh Mishalom Malach who's there that what Daniel saw was a Malach, not the Eibishter himself. But okay, still, I mean, we're using it Kaviyachol as a description of the Eibishter, so we still have to fanfare.
We want them to describe the Eibishter.
So that's the thing. We have to understand obviously that these descriptions are not Gashmiistic, but. There is a meaning to them, as the Gemara is going to say now. Al-Bichsidus, the idea is that the various ways in which we relate to the Eibishter, there's a way in which we relate to the Eibishter that can be described as white, which is Chesed, and there's a way that can be described as black, and which, you know, and so forth. But each of these, in other words, the idea, the way Chassidus says it, the expression that Rambam says, HaTorah medaberes bel yonim v'remezes v'tachtonim. The Torah essentially is speaking of things up l'mayla. It hints of things down here. In other words, the idea is, Chassidus says, for example, there is a certain reality up l'mayla. The way that reality comes down to us, it comes down as the fact that there exists such a thing as black hair and white hair and all these various other things that we're describing. The Chokrim, the Jewish philosophers throughout the, you know, in earlier times used to say the other way around, you know, that we need some kind of way of describing because, you know, we need Dibra Torah Kol Shen B'nei Adam. So therefore we take some thing that exists in our world, such as white hair, and we use it as a mashal for the Eibishter. So it just kind of flips that around. There exists something l'mayla that as it's nishtalshal down here, is the source that is the source of the fact that down here we have white hair, and therefore in turn that's able to serve as a marshal for it. Anyway, so what is it, white or black? And the answer is like Kasha, can be a shiva, can be a mochama. One's talking about when the Eibishter is sitting to teach or to judge or whatever, and the other one when he's going to war. Because a Braisa says, "Ein l'chana b'yeshiva el hazaken." The only proper thing by sitting in judgment is for there to is an old person, because then he has the experience and the maturity. "Ein l'chana b'mocham el habacher," and the appropriate one for warfare is a young man. So therefore, when the Ebishta is showing Hashemish Mochama by the Yamzuk, then he shows himself. He appears, Kaviyachol like a young man with black hair. When he's sitting to judgment, like Daniel's describing, then it's white hair. Yeah. Next, Kosev Achadayim, one pasuk, again back to Daniel, one pasuk says, Karsei Shvivin Denur, his chair, his Kiseh HaKavod, is sparks of fire. Kosev Achadayim, and another pasuk says, a couple of pasukim earlier, Adi Karsav Von Remiv, until chairs, plural, are placed. The Atik Yemin Yosef, and the Ancient of Days, this is where we get the expression Atik in Chassidus, as it comes from this pasuk, sat down. So what is it? Is there one chair or two? The answer is like Hasha, Echad Loi VeEchad LeDavid. One is for the Eibishter himself, and one is for David. What does that mean? Well, let's first learn a couple of lines, and then I'll explain some various things that Mephoshim say about this. Ketanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Echad Loi VeEchad LeDavid, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. That's one chair for the Eibishter and one for David. This is again when the Eibishter is judging the four Malchus, is judging the four kingdoms of history. The Babel, Paros, and Madai were the Greeks and the Romans and the Arabs. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Amalei Rabbi Yisrael, really, Akiva ad Mosse ata oisa Shechina chol. How? What are you making Shechina to be mundane? You're saying that David Amalek, a human being, is sitting next to the Eibishter. How are you talking? Ella echad ledin veechad letzedaka. So no, the two chairs. I agree, there's two chairs because karsav von means chairs, plural. But it means one is that the Eibishter sits on for din, and the other one for tzedaka. One to judge the goyim, and one to do tzedaka for the yin. The question is, kiblumine or like kiblumine? Did Rabbi Akiva accept Rabbi Yossi's argument or not? Tashma, come, we have another braisa that says, Echad ledin veechad letzedaka divrei Rabbi Akiva, which is what Rabbi Yossi agreed with said before, so we see that Rabbi Akiva accepted that. And Amalei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Akiva, malach etzel Hagada. Akiva, what are you doing in Hagadah? Klach mi dabri tzecha, go away from this kind of talk, etzel negoyim ba'olos, and stick to negoyim ba'olos, which are complicated areas of halacha. In other words, he's telling Rabbi Akiva, your specialty is the really complicated areas of halacha. Your specialty is not Hagadah. It's kind of a respectful way of saying, like, you know, this isn't your fort. This isn't your strong point. Ella echad l'kisteh ve'echad l'shrafraf. So rather, one of the two chairs, one is for the actual throne and one is for the footstool. Kisteh le'shevolav shrafraf la'adam raglav. The chair. This is Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah saying that the kisteh to sit on and the shrafraf for la'adam raglav for as a footstool. Shenem ha'shamayim kisteh ve'oretz adam raglav. We mentioned this, yes. Yeah, this is where we mentioned this idea of the Shammai and the Silil about the chair and the footstool. Yeah. So what's going on over here? The chair for David next to the Eibishter. There's a lot of different explanations. The Ababonel says, very simply, Rav Akiva starts off by saying that when the Eibishter is going to judge the Dalet Malchus, this is already when Mashiach comes, the Pesukim immediately before that described Aruy Manan Ishmael, Mashiach coming on the cloud, etc. So then, yeah, there's the Eibishter judging the nations, and then there's Mashiach defeating them down here on earth. Like the Rambam says, one of the prerequisites for Mashiach is Yilchem Milchamet Hashem V'Yinatzeach. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is saying, yeah, you have two things going on over here, the Eibishter's side of things and Mashiach's side of things. Rabbi Yisrael tells him how you talk. I mean, there's one Eibishter running the whole show. Mashiach's not an independent creature. Therefore, he says, Echad ledin veechad letzedaka. Comes along Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and says, even that's not good enough. So what? That still makes it sound like there's two aspects to the Eibishter. Chas v'shalom, Hashem Echad. So therefore, no, he'd rather say that it's all part of one thing, the Kiseh and the Shrafraf, as opposed to two different forces, a din and tzedaka.
But in reality,
going on
David was fighting down here.
Ah, so then, right, well, according to Rabbi Akiva, that's the original idea. Ben Yehoyada says a different approach on it, that what Rabbi Akiva meant when he said, Echad Loiv, Echad LeDavid, David over here represents Malchus. Throughout Chassidus, we know that David is the embodiment of Sfirat HaMalchus. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says to him, basically, I don't disagree with you, he says, but what are you talking in that way? Like, people are going to misinterpret what you're saying and think that you mean the actual Gashmiistik of David. better say Echad the Din v'Echad the Tzedakah. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah comes along and says, let's put what Rabbi Akiva said in terms that are more acceptable. The Kisei and the Shafrach, the Malchus is the lowest of all the spheres. It's compared to the feet, Kaviyachol. So therefore, yes, when you're talking about the Eibishter and his feet, Kaviyachol, then yes, you're talking about the same thing. There's a chair for Zon, there's a chair for Malchus, which is essentially what Rabbi Akiva said about David.
So it would be the lowest.
Yeah, well, he represents the lowest of all the spheres. But on the other hand, it's from Malchus that the next Olam evolves from Malchus of one world evolved into all the spheres of the next world. So yeah. No, Malchus. First of all, no, it's Sofen B'Tchilasa, and Sofen B'Tchilasa. And even though Malchus is the lowest in a certain sense, it's the highest. That's why it connects with Keser. That's why you have Keser Malchus. Also, there's the Sofen Ma'aseh Machshava B'Tchila, and also Akol Hayom Min Ha'Afro. We'd have to learn pages and pages of Siddur to even begin to understand this topic. So let's leave it for now. Yeah. Ki Asur of Dimi Yama. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said as follows. Shmuna Esra Kolos Kili Yeshaya at Israel. Yeshaya said, "Benevuah 18 curses against the Jewish people." But he didn't calm down, like he wasn't satisfied, so to speak, until he said to them the following pasuk. The reason why we're quoting this is because yesterday we quoted some of these things that he's going to mention now. Some of these qualities we said are the kind of qualities a person needs to have in order to learn Ma'aseh Merkabah. So now we're going to quote the whole thing in context. So Yeshaya says 18 curses, and still he felt he had to. Not he felt it's all in the vua from the Eibishter, but he didn't calm down. He wasn't satisfied. Until he says the following pasuk, Yirhavu hanar bezaken. The young will be chutz b'dikah, will be proud against the elders. V'hanikla b'nichbad, and the lowly, the contemptible against the honorable. When he said that, then that's it. He didn't have to add anything more. So what are the 18 clauses? Shmoneh Esrei clauses.
Once Mashiach comes.
So why? What do we learn to scour out? What did Yeshaya want to curse the Jewish people as much as possible? There's a few different explanations. One of them is Marsha says the vote is. We know at the end of Soita, the Gemara describes what things are going to be like in Ikvah Sidei Mashiachah. The first thing it says over there is Chutzpah Yaske, that there's going to be a lot of Chutzpah. The young are going to be Chutzpah against the elders, etc. So when Yeshaya saw that, when Yeshaya heard that part of the Nevuah and said it over, then you know what? Then it means the end is in sight. We're already reaching Yemos Mashiach. So in that case, then the other clauses that come before that then are not, kind of takes the sting out of them. The Eitz Yosef says a vort, and the Rebbe says something similar in a letter that the vort is that by right. The leaders, the rabbanim, the mashpiim, the community leaders, or whatever, should be giving mussar to the people in all the generations. We see a lot of times they don't. They let things slide. Now, what's going to happen with that? I mean, on the face of it, if they don't, they're blamed. We learned way back in Shabbos when leaders are able to be moicha on the people and they don't, then they're blamed for whatever happens. As the Gemara says over there, the Midas HaRachmim can argue, okay, listen, they even if they tried, it wouldn't do any good. But the Midas HaDin would counter very well. The Eibishter knows that to be true. How do they know that to be true? They still have to make their effort. So you have when Yeshaya says over here, you should know in advance that it's going to be that the young aren't going to listen to the elders anyway. Then already that gives them an excuse. That gives them a way out of this.
Right.
They weren't moicha on the people, okay, but they had reason to know in advance it wasn't going to help anyway. Having said that, by the way, the Rebbe did talk about a lot of times in connection with this thing about Bikvus Mashiach Chutzpah Yaske, that it has a positive side also. It's not all a negative thing. When we say that Bikvus Mashiach Chutzpah Yaske, it also means that the young are going to have the chutzpah to reject the wrong things that their fathers did. That there had been Baal Tshuva, there was a whole Baal Tshuva movement in the last 50 years. That's an example. Bikvus Mashiach Chutzpah Yaske. They have the chutzpah to go against what their fathers and grandfathers were doing, and then go for Yiddishkeit. Anyway, what are the 18 clauses? Shmoneh Esrei clauses ma'ininu. Pasuk says like this: Ki hine oden Hashem Tzvakos meisim Yerushalayim and Yehuda. The master Hashem Tzvakos is going to remove from Yerushalayim and Yehuda the following: Mashein, a support, or Mashena is another word for support. Called Mashein Lachem, every support of bread, v'chol Mashein Mayim, and every support of water. giver, a strong person, the Ishmachama, and a warrior, Shofet, a judge, the Navi, and a Navi, the Kosem, and a magician. So, like, already we have to ask ourselves, what's a magician doing over here? If this is a Puranas, of course, it's a good thing there are no magicians. So we're going to, the Zaken, an elder, Sar Chamishim, a captain of 50, and a Supanim, and one whose face is uplifted, like he's respected. The Yayetz, and an advisor, the Chacham Charoshim, and a Chacham of silence. So literally means Chacham Charoshim means something like an expert craftsman. Unvoin Lachash, and somebody who understands whispering. These last five we mentioned yesterday are the ones that a person needs from Ma'aseh Merkava. And the pasuk continues, "V'nasat in orim sorehem, I will make young men their noblemen, their leaders. V'talulim yimshalugvam, and talulim, the simple meaning of talulim means like people who play like people who play tricks, like unserious people. We'll talk about soon what it means. Yimshalugvam will rule over them." And the next pasuk continues, which I go, it's like adds over here, "V'nigas ha'am ish bereu," that everybody will be oppressing one another. Anyway, so that comes out to 18 things. Now let's explain what they really mean. Mash'ein elu bali mikra. The word mash'ein, a support, means people who are expert in Tanakh. Mash'ein elu bali mishnah. The mash'ein refers to people who are expert in mishnah. K'gun Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema v'chaveirav. So the Eibishter is saying, in this nevuah, that I'm going to remove all of these classes of people from among the Jewish people. They're not going to have, there's not going to be any more experts in, the great experts in Tanakh and the great experts in Mishnayos and so on and so forth, all the ones that we're going to list. This is what A.C. Yosef said, that when all these great people are gone, then the Rishayim can get what's coming to them. Otherwise, the Tzaddikim usually are the ones who suffer for the dirt. Like this, when all the Tzaddikim are gone, then that's one idea of it. The other idea is if we're saying that they don't listen anyway, then No, but it's not completely taken away. I mean, we still have people who learn Tanakh. We still have people but we don't have experts like they used to have. Why we call them respectively Mashein and Mashena? One idea is that the Chumash is called Mashein, and not Chumash. Tanakh is called Mashein because the basis for everything. Mishnah is called Mashein Nom, Loshen Nekeva. First of all, because it's like Zohar Nekeva, and Mishnah receives is a Makabel from Torah, because it depends on what it says in Torah Shavachsav. And second of all, there's the idea that Mishnah itself is kind of a weak thing, because you can't pass Kin Halacha from Mishnah the way you can from Gemara. Ben Yehoyada also adds that the word Mashein is the same letter as rearranged as Nishma, as in Nas of a Nishma, and therefore that's another connection. Anyway. So what happened in Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema at the Chaveirav's times? Pligu bar Rappapa v'Rabbanan. So Rappapa and the Rabbanan argue what they had in the way of Mishnah in those days. Chad Omer Shesh Meir Sidri Mishnah. One says that in those times they had 600 Sdorim of the Mishnah. V'chad Omer Shva Meir Sidri Mishnah. And the other one says they had 700, which nowadays we only have 6. So we see how much different Mepharshim talk about exactly what was in those 600 or 700 Sidre Mishnah. But the point is, there's a lot of material that we don't have anymore, Pasha. That's part of what it means that we don't have these Bali Mishnah anymore.
600 and
700.
And we have 6.
And we have 6, yeah.
I think we've lost so much.
So that's the thing. There's different Mepharshim that talk about what it is. These are different, the different Tanoyim versions of the Mishnayos or private notes that people had of different halachas or whatever it is. But still, we have a fraction of that. We have the Shishur Sidur Mishnah. We have a little bit of it scattered here and there in the Gemara, and that's pretty much it. That's the Altadeva, by the way, talked about the idea. What did Rashbi and his son Rabbi Elazar spent 13 years in the cave over there? They learned Kabbalah. They wrote the Zohar over there. But what are the Zohar? You could go through in a couple of months. What they spend the rest of their time doing? Learning Nigla, learning the 600 Sidrei Mishnah.
We've got 600.
Yeah. Next, the pasuk continues, Kol Mash'ein Lechem, that the Eibishter says, I'm going to remove all support of bread. Eilu Bali Talmud. This means the people who are experts in Gemara. Which you can actually pass in halacha from. So in that sense, it's like bread that you can eat. Shenem alachu lachmu v'lachmi, as the pasuk says, come eat from my bread. Ushtu b'yayin masachti, and drink of the wine that I poured. We see that Torah can be compared to bread. Alpichlidus, so there's the idea that Torah is food for the neshama. Now, I've never talked about this in a number of places in Tanya. What?
When is this?
The pashtus before the korban. This is the time that Yeshaya is saying most of the divorce about before
also,
the korban. Before the first korban. Yeah.
That a person needs to eat bread for 40 years before he can start drinking wine.
Yeah. Well, there's the idea also that a person needs to learn nigla before.
Those terms.
Okay. Every support of water, this means the experts in Agata. Why is Agata like water? Because it draws a person's heart like water. Gibber is a Baal Shmuris. Then the pasuk can continue that the Gibber, the mighty man. This means somebody who knows, who's heard a lot of halachas from his teachers. He's mighty in knowing Torah. The Ishmochama, and the warrior, Zeshi Yadeh, list of Litin Memocham Teshalter. This means somebody who knows how to give and take, to do Shakta Vitalia in the battle of learning Torah. Marsha says the difference is the Gibber knows a lot of facts, a lot of facts that he had in Kabbalah. The Ishmochama, not necessarily does he know so many facts to Kabbalah, but it's like the difference between somebody who, Marsha says, like the difference between somebody who has the weapons and somebody who knows the strategy. So like the Gibber is the one who has the weapons. The Ishmael Chama is the one who knows the strategy, was able to deduce things on his own. Shoifet Zedayan, when it says there's no, that the Eibishter is going to take away the judges, Zedayan should dundin emes lamita. It doesn't mean all the judges. Obviously, there are judges all the time. It means judges who know who judge a truthful case in truth. Which Tosfos and Shabbos says, for example, that means that din emes lamita. It means not only the judgment itself is truth, but they make sure that all the testimony that led up to it is truthful. They know how to tell when the edim are playing games or whatever and ferret that kind of thing out. Navi k'mashmoi. The navi means exactly what it sounds like. There's not going to be any more naviim. Kosim zemelach. The sorcerer. This means the king. Shenemer kesem asiv semelach, as it says in the pasuk, there's a, like a spell on the lips of the king, meaning that when Marsha says when a king gives out a decision, it's like it seems as though it's a magical thing. People can't understand how he knows what he knows in order to be able to give that decision. So it's like a magical spell. Zaken zecheroy liyeshiva. The zaken is somebody who is suitable to sit in the yeshiva, as we always say zaken is zeshekan achachma. Sar chamishim, al tikri, sar chamishim ala sar chumashim. Sar chamishim rather means sar chumashim, the master of chumashim. Zeshi yedeh lisa v'litin b'chamisha chum sheter. This is somebody who knows how to give and take, do shakta v'talia in the five chumashim. So what's the difference between him and the Baal Mikra from before? So Marashah says the difference is the Baal Mikra is expert in all of Tanakh, the sar chamishim is expert in chumash. Ben Yoyada says the vote is you have a lot of halachas in chumash, you have a lot of dinim, where you have one part of the din is here and one part is there. That's why we always need zera shavas and things like that. So the sar chamishim is somebody who knows how to do that kind of analysis, so to be able to put the different parts of chumash together to figure out. Davracha, another explanation. Sar chamishim kedir Rav Avohu. The word sar chamishim, it literally means 50, but it's like what Rav Avohu said. The Amr Rav Avohu mikan she'en ma'amidin meturgum na'al tzibur pachas mechamishim shana. From here we learn that you don't set up a meturgumon for the tzibur for somebody, for Rosh Hashiva who's less than 50 years old. Up until 50 years old, he's not important enough that you should set up a meturgumon that he'll announce the drasha to everybody. So they're sar chamishim, you have to be 50. Yeah, in other words, the normal way they did in those days was the Rosh Hashiva would say a thing quietly, and the Meturgamon would have the job of repeating it out loud to everybody and explaining it and whatever. So that kind of formalized thing like that the way the Rosh Hashiva gives drashas in those days, you don't do when the Rosh Hashiva is less than 50, you were saying. That's a different, there's a caveat that has the gear, so rather that you don't do it for a group of less than 50 people. So a Sar Chamishim is somebody who's suitable to teach Torah to 50 people at a time. Unasuponim, somebody whose face is uplifted, means zeshen noisim ponim l'dorei ba'avurei l'mayla. This means somebody, it's a person, who a tzaddik who's on a high enough level that the Eibishter looks kindly at the face of everybody in his dor for his sake. It was obviously the Eibishter treats the tzaddik nicely, but that the tzaddik is able with his chus to help the whole dor, that's a much higher level. For example, we have the case of somebody who the Eibishter does good for the whole dur for the sake of a tzaddik. That's, for example, Rav Chanina ben Dosa, the famous stories about him where he would be able to daven on behalf of people. Down here, you also have that kind of example. For example, Rav Abohu by the emperor's house. The Gemara mentions in a few places that Hedrin is one of them, that Rav Abohu was very, very respected by the Roman emperors and noblemen and whatever of his time. So much so, the Gemara says, when he would come to visit the palace in Caesarea, in Caesarea, the maidservants, they would come out and sing a song in his honor. So like they treated the whole community, the whole Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael, better because of him. That's what we mean. Nisu ponim, like for his sake, they respect everybody. And Tosfos says doesn't mean, I mean, the Rav Abba was also a tzaddik. The Eidishter also did good for the Dor in his chus. But when it comes to that, he wasn't the only tzaddik in his generation. But he's the only one who down here on earth had this kind of influence by the Romans. Next, Yoyetz, when the Pasuk says Yoyetz, an advisor, this means somebody who's an expert at deciding when there needs to be an Ibur Yor and calculating the month. V'chacham, the Talmud Amachim Asher Baisa, V'chacham means a Talmud who makes his Rebbeim smarter by asking them good, incisive questions. Choroshim, we said before that Choroshim literally means like a craftsman. But here the Gemara darshins it, Meloshin Cheresh, like death, like we said at the beginning of the Masechta. B'shosh, B'seach, B'divrei Torah, when a person, this is talking about the kind of person, when he starts speaking, D'divrei Torah, Hakol Nasim Kecherushin, everybody else becomes like mute. Like they don't have anything to say, to add to what he's saying, basically. V'novain, an understanding person, means Zameved Dovim, Mitzvah Dovim, somebody who's able to understand one thing from another. In other words, this is what Bina is. You given one fact and you're able to deduce another fact from it.
So that was Yosef.
Yosef was. Yeah. Lochash, we said the next pasuk was Lochash, which means whispering. Zesheroy limsa ledivrei Torah shenitna malachash. This refers to somebody who's roy to give over to him words of Torah that are said in secret, meaning ma'aseh merkava. Right, but no, there are certain parts of Torah that are given balachash, namely Kabbalah, Jika stuff, and that's the kind of thing, a person who is suitable to get that kind of thing. And then the pasuk continues, Vinasati, after it lists all these great people who are going to be gone. So next the pasuk says, Vinasati na'orim sarehim, I will make young men their sarim. My Vinasati na'orim sarehim, what's wrong with young men particularly? Amrava Blaza doesn't mean young people in age. It means these are people who are empty, who are shaken off of mitzvahs. Those are going to be the starting. The Talulim Yimshalubam, and we said Talulim will rule all of them. So he said that the simple translation of Talulim means like people who play tricks, people who aren't serious. But Amar Papa Acha Bayakov, it means Tali Bnei Tali. Talulim is related to the word Tala, which is the Aramaic word for a fox. So foxes, the son of foxes. Foxes are very sneaky, sly creatures. These are like people who are not only foxes themselves, but like they're from a whole, they have a whole yichus of foxes behind them. That's the kind of people we're talking about.
Is this related to today that politicians?
Could be. Next, the plusing continues. Okay, so those were the 18 clawless. And then we said the Niskara Dieter that Yeshaya still was not calmed, he wasn't set at ease. Adcha Amalahem, until he told them, Yudavu Narabazak and Vaniklab Nichbar. What does this mean? The Narabazak means Elabane Adam Shimon Orin Minam Mitzvah. This refers to people who, as we said, are empty of mitzvahs. Yudhavu, they will feel proud, Mimishima Mullah Mitzvah's Karimun. In somebody who's as full of mitzvahs as a pomegranate. One second. And then the contemptible against the honorable means yavei misha chamur of doymer zalof to college, that a person who the big averus seem as easy and as unimportant to him as a light mitzvah, v'yirhavu, when they'll feel proud, v'misha kamisha kalis doymer zalof kachamuras, as if the people of the light mitzvah feel like the big ones to them. So one meaning of this actually, Eitz Yosef says this means this is actually a good thing in a way. Even though, on one level, it's not. It means, in other words, that these people are they're hypocrites. They're claiming to be who they're not. On the other hand, he says at least there is a good thing in it. It shows that they have covered for Torah and for mitzvahs. They're trying to claim I'm bigger in Torah than I am. I'm bigger in mitzvahs than I am. Okay, it's not a good thing. A person needs to really know where they are. But at least they're not claiming I'm great because I'm rich or because I'm good at sports or whatever. That they're claiming that I'm great because I'm in Torah and mitzvahs. That's at least a certain mile up. Amr of Ktina, Afilu B'Shach Kishloina Shal Yerushalayim, continuing on this theme, we had this in Shabbos as well, even at the time when Yerushalayim was stumbling and falling by the Churban, Lo Poskim Mehem Bali Amona, trustworthy people, honest people, never ceased from among the Jewish people. Shenema, because the pasuk continuing in those same psukim Yeshaya, ki yitpas ish ba'achiv beis aviv, lemer, a person will grab a hold of his brother from his father's house, saying like this, simolcha, you have a garment, katzin tiyalanu, you should be a leader for us. Simple meaning of the pasuk is you're talking about like a time, there's no leadership. So people look at anybody who has a zayin and a zubitza and they figure, you know, he should be a leader. What does it mean? People are saying, Dvarim Shemanadim Iskas and Kasimla, the things of Torah that people cover themselves with like a garment, meaning that things that people usually, Rashi says, usually people like hide themselves, they don't want to be asked about these areas of Torah because they don't really know them. They say, Yesh Nantachas Yadcha, you have them in your hand, in other words, you know these areas of Torah that most people don't. And they continue, V'amachshela hazois, my V'amachshela hazois, the stumbling, means Dvarim she'en b'nei adam, ahim din alein eleim, ken nichsha behen, the kind of things in Torah that a person doesn't really understand properly until they're nichshalin, because it happens a lot of times. Rashi says that a person hears something from a Talmud, hears something the first couple of times, and he doesn't fully understand it, and he stumbles over it. Eventually, he gets it right. So those kinds of things, they tell this person, Yesh n'tachas yadcha, you have in your hand. So they're telling him, in other words, you're a big Talmud Chacham. You know things that people don't, and you already got over all the mistakes. So you should be our leader. Actually, you should be our Rav.
I just heard the saying you talked to Rabbi Gedalia Schwartzman. Like, how do you are you able to come to all these decisions so well, and that? Because I've already fallen in them so many times that I got them down.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of times. It's true. I know them. I'll do it. I'm going to do it. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, the pasuk continues there in Yeshaya. Yisa b'yayma ulemer, he will raise up on that day saying, I will not be a chovish. The simple meaning of chovish is like somebody who puts people in jail, a leader like that. In my house, there's no bread and no clothes. So don't make me a leader of the people. What does this mean in terms of what we're saying over here? It means like this. Yisa en yisa el loshen shvur. The word yisa means that he swears. So the person swears as follows. He says, Loi e a chovish, I will not be, or meaning I have never been a chovish. Loi ha yisim e chovish a beis medrash. I'm not the kind of person who locked himself up in the beis medrash. If we're saying that chovish means somebody who locks people up in jail, chovish a beis medrash means somebody who confines himself, who stays in the beis medrash. I was never that kind of person. He says, in my house there's no bread and no garment, meaning, I don't know any Chumah, I don't know any Tanakh, I don't know any Mishnah, I don't know any Gemara, so don't think because I have a silk kapata I can be your Rav, I have no such thing. So we see that even at that time, we're talking about the time of the Churban, there were still honest people. You tell them, you're a Talmud Chacham, the guy would honestly answer, I'm not. Yeah. No, this is we're talking about. This is a person for whom we're the truth. But the question is, Gemara asks, how do you know that it's a matter of emunah? The Dilma shiny hossa, maybe it's different. Do you amalu gemuna? So what? What's going to happen? He answers to them, I do know. Amulei, okay, emulan. So they'll tell him, very well, then please tell us a good word. So he's not being honest because he's honest. He's being honest because he doesn't want to be found out as a liar. The answer is, okay, he could get away with it. Have a little memo. Gom of a shachach. He could claim, you know what, I knew the answer once, but I forgot it. My loy ayachovish, when he says loy ayachovish, that's the honest part. Loy ayachovish called it. He's willing, he's freely willing to admit that I was never one of the bench kvetchers in the Beis Medrash. So we see that they were honest. Somebody says a vote on this, that the Eibishter made it this way, this is what preserves Torah in all the generations. Otherwise, you're going to have, throughout the generations, there's going to be fakers who claim that they're expert in Torah, and what's going to happen with the Masada. Like this, the Eibishter arranges it, that there's always Anshe Amona.
They know, but
they don't know. They ask any, is that?
There were no scholars.
We're saying that when that anybody, if you had somebody who to the world looked like a Talmud Chacham, yeah, and then they asked him, obviously they had scholars, but we're not talking about those. We're talking about the people who looked like Talmud Chacham, but really weren't. Were honest enough to admit it. Any, is that really so? You're telling me there were honest people at that time. Well, I'm a Rava, but Rava says fakir. Like Chover, Yerushalayim at Shapaskim and Abali Amana. Yerushalayim wasn't destroyed until honest people ceased from it. Shenema, as the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Shaitetu b'chutzis Yerushalayim, wander around in the streets of Yerushalayim. Una udu, and look now and see you, bakshu b'chavaseya, check around in the squares, im timtsu ishim yesh oisim mishpat, mevakesh emuna, go see if you can find a person who does justice and who looks for emuna, who looks for honesty, v'esmachla, and Eibush says, I'll forgive the city. No, this is mashma, there's no such person there, there's no honest people. The answer is, like Hasha, haba divrei Torah, haba maso matin. One's talking about in words of Torah, the other's talking about in business. When it comes to words of Torah, they were honest. They would admit what they know and what they don't. But when it came to business, not so much. And that's why Yirmiyah says, go around look in the streets. The streets is where business takes place. That you don't find anybody honest. Before, what Yeshaya is talking about is talking about it talking about regarding Torah.
That hasn't changed.
Tana Rabbanan. Should we break from Ayrev and continue after? I yeah. Okay. I guess so.